We're back, folks. It's been too long. It hasn't really. No one only watches the Holbert House show. That most people are fully aware that I do other shows. So in that case, it's actually only been like 14 hours, maybe. But for the Holbert House show loyalists of our great nation and world, we're back. I hope you wasn't too alarmed or horrified by the image that we led with here this evening. Incredible, incredible stuff. Having fun with these increasingly terrifying photoshops of my head, which it's also the scale always changes, which I appreciate. But our thumbnail today, brought to you by the great Six Star, myself in the role of Samoa Joe, the AEW World's Champion. So good times, and I'm here to hang out for the next hour and 20 maybe. I don't want to run into, I know Wrestle Purist, we have our Raw review today with the team, so I don't want to run into that, so I'm going to be here for like hour and 20, if people want me to stay that long. If not, I'll just leave. But yeah, house show's back. Also, there may be another one, there may be a double shot this week, because if Ibu can do it, we're going to do a hanging with Holbert tomorrow also, so it should be fun. I hope everyone is well. Let's hang out in the chat for a little bit. Let's talk graps. Revolution, of course, in the books. I watched a couple matches from Raw via fan cam, of course, which is my new way of approaching professional wrestling, which I'll get to kind of in a moment. But first, I'll catch up on the chat. Tell me what's happening, folks. If you have any questions, put them in the chat, and I'll try my best to answer them. Pop, we've got some fantasy booking here. I saw you guys talking about WWE and AEW Forbidden Door. I know it's probably never going to happen, but here's my dream card. Okay, let's have a look at this. This could be interesting. Roman versus Eddie. They would tear it up. And you know what would be even better than the match, dude? The build with Paul Lee would be awesome. Genuine. I mean, Eddie and Paul Lee as a segment would probably be incredible. Seth and Will. I feel like there's got... Yeah, it's probably the right match. It's the right match. I feel like there's more challenging stylistic matchups for both guys. But it's probably the right match. Bryan and Gunther. Correct. Usos, Bucks. That feels like a must. Kenny Omega and Chad Gable. My God, that one hadn't come to mind, but that's pretty sweet. Hangman and Orton. Listen, brother. That's a nice match. It's going to take some convincing to get Randall to take that Bucks. Hangman, he's pretty physical in there. I don't know if Randy's is rushing to that one, but it'd be a good match for sure. LWO and Death Triangle is good shit. Darby and Dragon Lee. Nice. FTR versus the Creeds. That's a good card. I'm looking at it. You asked what my dream card is, and obviously, as usual, I'm terribly unprepared. It's a house show. I'd like to get Kevin on there somehow. I would do, like, Mox and Eddie versus Kevin and Sammy, and it would be, like, one of my big ones. I think that would be so awesome. That's, like, perfect for that kind of show, too. That would be one of mine. Trying to think if any others come to mind of people that you didn't bring up. I know Eddie was on the card, but AEW's roster is so loaded, man. There's a lot of guys. I mean, I think Bryan and Gunther is the right match, but just for the sake of conversation, I would say Samoa Joe and Gunther is a dream match for me personally. Especially, like, I think this current version of Joe, old gunslinger Samoa Joe trying to just survive against this just super wrestler. I think that could be money. So that's another one that comes to mind here. We have some selling takes from Andy, I believe, of Wrestle Purist fame. If you're not of Wrestle Purist fame, you're a different Andy. I apologize. But Eddie's selling of the arm. Yeah, I agree completely about, like, I thought they told a wonderful story of that match, and the way that Dragon was keeping distance and trying not to strike and backing away and using the corners and kind of, like, you know, sticking and moving. Incredible. I think Eddie's selling is, like, some of the best in wrestling. So I agree completely. On the other hand, Andy was less keen on the Takeshita Osprey match for the issues in terms of the selling, which we talked about a little bit last night on the Late Night Grin. I don't know if anyone saw that, but if you go to the Late Night Grin YouTube channel, you can watch myself and Matt review the show. And I was talking about, like, selling is a really interesting thing, because I think you can examine selling to a degree where you kind of, like, get lost in it in a way that's, how would I put this? In a way that can kind of, I think, can subtract from, like, the raw ingredients of what wrestling can be and, you know, how exciting it can be. it's very much a context and a feel thing for me. There are some spots that like will be very jarring to me. And clearly there was some in the Ospreay match that was that way for others. I didn't feel that way. Just as an example, and like anyone who's watching this is probably aware enough of my opinions to know, I think the world of Andrade Oídolo. He had a spot last night, a no-sell spot, that was like enough. It annoyed me, you know. So it just shows you have different tolerance for these things. For anyone who didn't see the match, they did a spot where, and it's an increasingly common spot, a guy will do a superplex and then pick the guy up to do like a Falcon Arrow, you know, like the thing Seth does. And Apollo went to do that, and Andrade cut him off, hit the Eddie taunt, and did Three Amigos. And it was like, he just got superplexed. And as I thought this in my head, I was kind of thinking, that's an example of what we discussed last night. All right, everyone has a different tolerance. Every wrestler will kind of like their quirks in terms of selling will hit for some, not for others. There are a lot of people that hate the way Eddie Kingston sells, which I always find to be like stunning, but we have different tolerance for those things, man. It's a taste thing ultimately. So there's been some, I will say, like on my feed, I've seen some actually like pretty interesting conversation about it. A lot of it's obviously just been people just yelling at each other, which is always great. But there was some fun talk, I thought. We're having fun with this Dwayne thing, man. Anyone who didn't see Worldwide last night, man, we had a really, really good time. Trying to get back to like, I guess trying to get back to what I think Worldwide's best is, which is like just absolute bullshit, you know? Just like, we used to call it the studio show for a reason. It's like, it's the show that no one should watch. It was a really good time last night. I had a blast. So if you haven't seen that, I do actually recommend it. Okay. I have heard this about professional wrestling being cool again. Yes, Dwayne has told me a couple of times. Hello, Bobby. I hope you're well. Match of the year contender. So I think, okay, tell me if you guys think I'm nuts here. I don't know. But, like, I kind of think my match of the year thus far, I mean, we're only in March. My match of the year, I kind of think, is the Sting match. Is that crazy talk? It might be. Maybe I was too swept up in it. I don't know. Again, the FTR match, I was, yeah. That's one where I concede completely. There are definitely flaws in that match, but that match just worked for me. And I didn't necessarily like the six-man they had either, which is like, those two opinions probably don't add up, but that's the way I felt. I don't know. It's wonderful, brother. God bless. I think Gunther is the second best wrestler on the planet behind Bryan, and by the time his career is over, he'll go as the greatest. If he is like a real top guy running WWE, it will be transformative for his legacy. In terms of his work, I do think he's like an all-time, I think he's an all-time great in-ring guy like already. I think he's very special. I think people are not aware how deep his catalog is, you know. Gunther or Volta is like an incredible pro wrestler. We'll see how he does as the world's champion in WWE. That's not something that really bothers me necessarily. But it will be like, if he hits in that role and he delivers the way I think he will, it will be a game changer for the way he's perceived, I think, historically. And he's still pretty young, too. He's fresh. And the way he wrestles, he should age gracefully, you know? So, yeah, Gunther's awesome, man. He's matched with Dom. I thought they had a killer match. I mean, Dominic Mysterio, I know he gets a lot of shit. And, like, certainly at times it's been earned because he wasn't the strongest babyface. I think he's, like, an actual good heel worker at this point, which is pretty cool because I did not see that coming for a while there. I remember being very concerned about his match with Ray. Like, can they live up to this? And I thought they had a great match. And since then, it feels like Dom's not really looked back. I think he just gets more and more confident. And he has pretty good instincts. So, yeah, I really liked Dom and Gunther. What else we got here? I appreciate, this is awesome, man. I'm glad I'm helping people through the work. I know it's like 1 p.m., right? 1 p.m. in the States. So, like, God bless. I hate to ask about Discord, but I'm curious what your take is on the Ospreay Takeshita no-sell stuff. I know you asked this before I was talking about it, but yeah, I think it's case by case. In that particular spot, I like jumped to my feet on the hidden blade. I thought that was the spot of the match. The way the place came up, I thought that was the perfect choice for that point in the match. The one time I struggle with Ospreay in terms of the selling part is when he dedicates a part of the match to limb work that he doesn't really, it's not really, to me it's a waste because he's never going to sell it in a way that makes it worthwhile, the investment, you know. Matches like last night, I'm happy to just buy a ticket on the adrenaline and these kind of freak athletes who can do crazy things. I'm fine with that personally. Now, I thought that was the right. I thought him and Takeshita wrestled the right match. It was like the correct match for we're promoting this guy as the most spectacular wrestler on earth, this incredible free agent. So I thought it was the right match for that. And that is a heel I think I would happily die on. I think we talked about this on the air. Like, this is not a reflection of Swerve or Hangman. Like, I think they're both great, but I actually would accelerate and put the belt on Will, to be honest. I just think what he represents, I think is the right choice to be their top guy right now. And I know that wouldn't be for everyone, and at times it probably wouldn't even be for me, but if I'm trying to be reasonable and objective and level-headed about these things, I'd have him beat Joe. I think they've got something special with him. I wouldn't want to let him, you know, I want to strike while the iron's hot and let him really run with the ball, but we'll see what they do. I mean, he's obviously going to get treated really, I mean, favorably. It's clear they're thrilled to have him, so I'm not worried about his creative. I think I'd go the whole way and just fucking swing big. That's me. I don't know. I didn't answer your question at all, which is the correct way to do the whole house show. Joe of St. Louis, allegedly finally getting an AEW pay-per-view. Can you please do set up so we go to the zoo with the Good Brothers? Then that'd be much tougher to pull off now, but that was, for anyone who's unaware, this was a trip we had planned in November 2021 when the Good Brothers were still like kind of around. I think actually at that point they'd even stopped pretty much, but still. There was this mythical trip to the zoo that was planned with the NXT stars, Cole Anderson and Luke Doc Gallows. So it was good. I hope was all is pretty well, man. It's a really interesting one. Like I know I'm way behind in the chat, guys. I'm gonna try. I will try to see everything. Okay, so what was that? Yeah, no, I wanted to actually elaborate on this very briefly. I know we've got a lot of comments in the chat, but like, I'm actually in like a pretty good place, and like, luckily, I have a handful of friends in this space. Most pretentious thing anyone says when they create in the space. That's what we're doing right now. So I'm in a pretty good place with that. I'm still figuring out my own role in it, you know, and it's been different recently. Like I've been doing this now for, my good God, my first wrestling feature was over 7 years ago, which is deeply unfortunate, but it's true. And recently I've got like more attention, and that's like really cool. And a lot of people are really, really awesome. And I can do stuff like this and have an audience at 6 p.m. in Great Britain. It's really sweet. But, like, there's also some weirdness. Like, I'm starting to get those freak DMs that Iva Recipurus often mentions. And I didn't realize that would be a thing that would be coming my way, but it is. And, like, I'm just figuring it out. And I'm also in a weird place with, like, trying to be analytical without losing my mind and becoming, like, a robot, which I never want to do. I have to be myself, right? So I don't know. I say all that to say that I appreciate like people that have been patient with me, because I know that I've been kind of slacking on the writing front, and I don't know when that stuff will come back. You know, I'm just trying to do what feels right at the time. I'm trying not to force it, I guess. So hopefully that comes across, and when you guys do see me on shows, it's fun and entertaining. So that's what I'm trying to do, you know. It's Hanging with Holbert, the Holbert version of Sunday stuff. Yes, it is, yeah. It's actually, it's our, like, Saturday night's main event, if we're being real. That Ibu brings in a house, brother. He's a big star. Yeah, Paulie and Eddie would be money. Where does Ilya come into play in this Forbidden Door? For most people, probably, actually, Shaitan Spurs got a good answer. Roosh, he beat that. That's better. Yeah, that's good. Very, very good. Yes, the Dom match was fucking awesome. Absolutely. Mark Briscoe versus Dom, Blading Courage. That's nice. I like that a lot. Found a playlist on YouTube with a bunch of fan cam videos from different years. See, this is what I'm talking about, bro. This is the influence I'm trying to have. That's real graps right there. This is the question answered perfectly here by the chat. Mark Briscoe and Dom is the right match for Dom. That would be glory. Absolutely. Takeshita and Braun running the ropes. Braun would be a nice guy to get in that game for sure. For sure. What matches from Raw have you seen? Lots of good wrestling this week. Those Jay Spears getting looser. Jay's got, you know, like, Jay's really over, but he's got to chill a little bit. He's he's one of those, like, you sometimes guys get over and they can, you know, things get a little bit loose because they know they're going to get a reaction regardless. You've got to be careful with that. I think an agent should probably rein him in a little bit. I've noticed his work is getting in, like, more and more loose, but it is what it is. The people love him. I saw Dom and Gunther, and I also saw the Judgment Day Imperium tag, which Ibu recommended to me because he said that, like, it was an interesting match more than anything else. And it was interesting. They kind of was like trying to figure out the right direction for it. And they eventually settled on Judgment Day being babyface, which was very weird and funny, but actually kind of worked. The crowd was doing, they were chanting, "We want mummy" at the start. And then Finn kind of got him on board with being a babyface. Like, he was right fighting from underneath and playing Ricky Morton. So it was cool to watch that. I like those kind of quirky things. And I'm a huge Finn Balor fan. I think he's like super underrated. At this point in the game, his work isn't very explosive, but I just think he's so smooth. The good pro shit is like borderline. It feels like you're like being backhanded compliment. I know it's lame at this point, but like, he is actually like, he's so versatile. You know, if you just watch the way he can adjust his work to his role, I think he's brilliant. I'm a huge fan still. But yeah, I saw that. That was good. Have everyone on the WrestlePurious LNG roster. Who would you have the best match with? I mean, I don't think any of them would be good, but you asked best, which was the right way to phrase it. The best match with... Good God, man. I feel like Oracle would blade, so I'll take Oracle. I feel like he's insane enough to cut himself, try and prove a point, so... Oracle is like a crazed Terry Funk-style heel would be my pick. Hi, Joe. Who do you think is the next ace of New Japan Pro Wrestling? I personally think Shota. He needs to stop cosplaying as Tanahashi and Moxie's love child. I like Tsuji a lot because he's kind of weird. I think it's something to be said for being weird. But Shota's probably the right pick. I've discussed this before. I think like using Moxley as the way to like cement Shota is, I think that's the right thing. The Moxley kind of, you know, Stan Hansen play that we discussed previously on one of these shows, or one of the 100 shows. Okay, how unfortunate was the 8-way scramble? It was quite unfortunate. It was like a WrestleMania weekend match. It was very funny. I mean, it wasn't funny. It was bad, but you know what I'm saying. It was like one of those matches. It's like a graphic, and then you start watching it and you go, oh, yeah, that's what this is. It was very – it was the full indie experience following Eddie and Brian with that. But, yeah, okay. Some Sting talk here. It was phenomenal. Yeah, man, and this is like a good example of where like I kind of am still wrestling the right way to be, you know, analytical or whatever else, because Sting is a great case of it. Like, you can dissect Sting's career and actually be kind of critical of it in a lot of ways. But sometimes I watch Sting and I just think, that feels like a waste of everyone's time, doesn't it? Wouldn't it be better if Russell just agrees awesome? I think this last match was that way. Like, you know, at one point they just kind of like walk around up to the stage and it's like kind of like a garbage plunder match. And if anyone else did it, would I care? Probably not. But it was fucking Sting doing it with the Young Bucks, Darby Allin, and it ruled, man. It packed a punch. They did this whole set piece with Steamboat and Flair, who like Flair's like anything he does physical now, it looks quite unfortunate. You could hear the referee yelling like, "Rick, get in front of them on your knees," and they just had to super kick him where he was. He wasn't moving. So Steamboat, on the other hand, was ready to put a classic on, of course. But yeah, I don't know, man. The Sting thing, like, it came across dramatic because it is dramatic, but I wasn't trying to be silly when I said it. Like, it was actually a moment where I kind of like, that's the way it's supposed to feel, you know? Beyond anything else, all the other stuff we talk about, and we talk about this story and that's, but like, how does it make you feel? When Sting won, I felt like my sports team had won the cup. You know, I felt they won the league, whatever the way you want to phrase it. It felt like real, which is, I think, the point, I think. I'm pretty sure that's the point. So, yeah. I don't know. Real graps. Watched the whole episode of TV that the Kevin Flair match reviewed on Green Grappler was on. Two stars and squashes. There was a kendo stick match, then a world title main event, and an hour of TV. Nice scraps. TV format is something that we're going to be looking into here. they're saying that we're going to be kind of, there's a show there in terms of delving into TV wrestling and different ways to do it, different ways to format it. I think there's a misconception now because it's been one way for so long that when anything's away from that, people are like stunned by it. There's many ways to do wrestling TV. So circle that. We may come back to it in a separate show down the line. I think the sanctity said for that. I agree with this. Sting match transcends just being a match. I agree. I agree completely. Joe, you're going to be playing 2K24 probably at some point because Terry Funk's on it. And Punk. Like that's a cool thing to me. Punk being on that game's cool. So I probably will get it, but I'm probably going to wait a little bit because I also need to like figure out. I get confused by the different versions of the game. As someone who hasn't took time to actually read it and just sees the covers, I have no idea what version of the game. I should just get the normal one, right? The basic one, I guess. But yeah, I'm probably gonna play it at some point. Sting match was an all timer. I'm glad you were there for that, by the way, brother. That was cool. A lot of my friends were in attendance for that, and I'm very jealous of all of you, but I'm also very, very happy for all of you. I honestly think Ilya is underrated because of NXT. The work he's done a little bit in Trick is insane. I'm torn on it because, like, I think you're right. I think your point is absolutely valid. Like, he is a tremendous pro wrestler who is, you can visibly see the effect he has on a guy like Trick Williams. And even Melo, right? Like, Melo is a more experienced wrestler. But Carmelo Hayes' best matches are with Ilya Dragunov by a mile to me. And I think you'll see when Trick and Carmelo wrestle, not that it'll be bad, but I do think you'll see the difference without having Dragunov in there. So I think your point's fair. This is where we go back to Taze. He's like, some of Ilya's quirks drive me insane. You know, like some of his more theatrical elements. And that's where NXT, I think, is a problem. The marriage of him and NXT, because they do those like cutscene finishes. Like the Corbin match was an example of it where like all logic would tell you that would just be a standard defense. And the wrestling match was, they just had like a match. It was pretty good. It was all right. And at the end, they went into this like cutscene where he was like talking to him. And I don't know. It's not always for me, but his physicality is immense. He's great to watch, very exciting. But that's always my little slight issue with Ilya when I'm putting him in that top tier. He can irritate me a touch. But these are the games we play. All hail Sting match with a transcendent experience. But I feel like Brian Eddie is the one I'll rewatch. Brian Eddie was great. Yeah, I don't disagree with any Brian Eddie love. I don't think there is any. No, I think Liv Morgan being added to that match should be unfortunate. And I like Liv Morgan. I'm not doing the Ibu of Wrestle Purist propaganda. I like Liv quite a bit, but I just don't. I want to see the Becky Rhea match, brother. That's a main event match. Real graps. Yeah, I definitely agree. I think Dom's got a lot better. I agree completely. I appreciate this. I'm convinced no one hooks me from the first minute of a match quite like Danielson. The Eddie match is so unique and I remember the opening sequences almost as much as the near falls. Yeah, man. Like the way they approach the opening sequences, the way they approach those with Eddie's like the best thing Eddie ever said that captures like who he is as a wrestler. And this might not work for most of you, but like to me, this is perfect. He made a comparison between himself and Arturo Gay. Now, for anyone who's unaware of Arturo Gay, he's like the ultimate blood and guts boxer. Like he had like classic wars that were like knockdown, drag out, you know, like just brawls. It's kind of fights you see in movies. But the thing he would always do is he would always attempt to box properly. He would always attempt to fight behind his jab and be tactical and technical. And then he would get hit and it would become, you know, World War III. And it's like King. He always uses that story. Like if you watch his matches through that lens, that's like the whole point of Eddie Kingston's character and the way he wrestles, right? It's always him wrestling his own temper and his own instincts. And the Brian matches is like a kind of arc of him becoming a real world champion and wrestling like that and wrestling tactically and not letting Brian get under his skin. So there's a lot of depth to those matches. I know the work itself isn't for everyone, which is fine, but that's like my kind of wrestling. Like, I think you can really sink your teeth into that kind of storytelling. I think it's just wonderful stuff. Do you think Dragon and Eddie is the best AEW feud? Outside of maybe Punk MJF or Hangman Omega, I can't see anything comparing. I think it's definitely in the conversation. It's a good question. I think Hangman and Swerve needs to be called like just for their first. I mean, I didn't love what they did on Sunday, as many of you will know, but like, you know, what they initially did, which I think has to be called out, and they're still getting, still in the middle of it. I have to say, I think Punk MJF's still the one seed, though. There were some segments in Punk MJF that I think will quite, you know, live long in the memory. I think that was pretty special. The segment where Punk got he got juice at Daly's place was like, to me, that's a classic wrestling segment. I'm sure most of you know what I'm talking about. But the one where Max, like, you know, he gives him a hug and they beat the hell out of him. And the baby faces have to, I think it's Sting and Darby have to run off the pinnacle. Like, there's some incredible. And I don't, some of the, like the first face-to-face promo I actually didn't love between Punk and Max. The one where they like do all the, you know, the kind of modern WWE quip segment that's so popular now. But man, some of the angles in that feud are awesome. And I love both matches. That would still be my pick. But to your point, man, Brian and Eddie had four great matches, you know, like, I think it's a fair question for sure. Yeah, I agree. Finn's just, he's so versatile, man. It's one of those cases of what you need, you know, what you kind of need on the roster. He can do it, right? He's so valuable in that way. What else we got here? Osprey Takeshi for like a modern day version of Dynamite and Tiger Mask. Follow in a new era of wrestling. Some of the smoothest and most beautiful work I've seen. Yeah, and that's, you know, Ibra always uses that state of the art. Like, that's the way he described it. I think it's sad to be said for that. Yeah, there's guys who come along that just kind of change graps. It's, in terms of the physicality, that is. Okay. Kevin versus Suzuki. My God. That's an insane match. I don't know what that looks like. Yeah, man, it is. Brandon gets it because there's something romantic about just watching the grouts from the building, you know? All right. Oh, my gosh, the Good Brothers NXT match was electric. That's one word for it. It was fun. It was fun. They can have those matches in their sleep. They're probably good for... I actually wish they got a little more time. I actually like that team, Blade and... Idris Anofe. I'm sorry if I said his name wrong. I forget the correct, but Malik Blade and Idris Anofe. I like them as a team. I actually hope they got a little more time, but what are you going to do, right? I mentioned it, but AEW haven't put the big belt on anyone in the first night, within their first 9 months. Do you think that changes Ospreay, or will they stick to what they've done with new guys and wait a bit? I think it will stay the way it's been and they'll wait for a bit. You know, Ospreay, I think. I would personally break from that and try and do something like just create. I see this, man, and tell me, I don't know what you guys think. I'll see your answers in about 20 minutes when I catch up with chat. But I see like clash of the kind of this kind of shootout with Samoa Joe and Will Ospreay, and I see it being like 13 to 15 minutes, and I think it could be like quite extraordinary, to be honest. The kind of match that starts with a hidden blade, you know, like. An absolute just knockout, just war, you know. And Joe's got obviously the size and strength, but Ospreay's so much quicker, such explosive offense. I just can't shake it. I think that's where I would go. And that's brutal for Swerve. And Swerve is someone you need to get that belt on. He needs to win that belt eventually. But I don't know. I think the people in Greensboro gave you a pretty good clue of what, you know, of where they think Will Ospreay should be. I think you should be your guy right now. And again, I think you guys know that's not me. Like, I don't really have a preference in that regard. I'm actually probably more of a Swerve fan than a Will Ospreay fan. But if I'm just looking at it objectively, whatever that means, yeah. There's something to be said for going in that direction, I think. I've heard this about Roman being the guy, yeah. I respect the persistence. Also on Scott Steiner, all-time great meathead wrestler, like insane unhinged promo guy at the second half of his career. I guess more than that, but the way I think of his career would be second half. It's actually like the last two-thirds probably of his career, but yeah, a tower two halves, or two parts, I should say. The Steiner brothers, Scott Steiner, is like one of the most insane, extraordinary athletes wrestling's ever seen. was always a very raw worker. You know, you don't watch the Steiner Brothers matches for psychology or selling. They just sort of throw guys around and it's fun to watch. And Scott was, he was an innovator too, man. Like, there's a spot. I don't have anyone, I'm sure most of you guys have seen this, but like Scott used to do the deal where he would get a guy in like the power slam position and do a fucking, he'd do a moonsault. And I think it's Wrestle War 92. He just, he lands directly on the top of his own head. And he just stands up. He was an animal. And then once he physically was shot, he found that whole promo and personality, which carried him for the next. I mean, he stayed on TV, God, 12, 13 years beyond when he physically really had much to offer. So pretty unique case in that regard. These two different kind of wrestlers almost within one career, but a very fun wrestler for sure. I appreciate the love, guys. I really do. It's very, very kind. As the resident Tiffy guy, I must ask, what forbidden door match would pop you involving her? Tiffy, what could we do with Tiffy? This is a good question. I mean, maybe you just lean into everyone being mad all the time and do the Mariah May match, right? Do Tiffy, and that'd actually probably be a killer match, man. That'd be killer. They'd whack each other a lot. They'd be physical. They're both really athletic. Let's do that, Mariah May and Tiff Strat. Five matches you'd recommend downloading for my 4-hour flight tomorrow. Damn. Okay. Let me try and throw some like weird shit out there. Bob Roode, AJ Styles, 2012 Impact TV match. Maybe May 2012. It's on YouTube. It's like 25 minutes. That's really good. I watched that the other day. Do Terry Funk and Tommy Dreamer versus Mick Foley and Adam Cope from ECW One Night Stand 2006, which I also just watched. Akeem and Big Boss Man versus the Hart Foundation. Fucking rules, trust me. 10 minutes, real graps. Paul White versus Meng, WCW Monday Nitro. Basically turns into a shoot fight. Goes like 4 minutes. Extraordinary match. And then maybe what would be a good main event for this card that I've prepared here? I'm trying to think if there's like a... You know what's good is the... I was just watching it before I came on here, the Randy Savage, Ricky Steamboat TV matches. There's one in like November that most people I think are aware of, but like if you've only seen the WrestleMania match, that match is really slick. Or alternatively, you could do Bret and Savage from Saturday Night's Main Event, which we did on Green Grappler and has become like kind of a favorite of mine. I go back to that a lot. That's two Bret matches though. There's some matches there. I hope that helped. All right. And if you want one that's long, then do Jumbo and Terry Funk from the 70s. We got this one. Appreciate you, bro. Always pops when you're doing two of the clips of the show. It's very fun. Okay. I think we do a Judgment Day face turn after Mania. Maybe. I think Judgment Day might be slightly different, right? It feels like someone's going to move on at some point. He's talking about Babyface Finn again, got me fired up. Any favorite matches? He's 2020-2021 NXT title run, doesn't get the love it deserves. I mean, you took the words out of my mouth. I think that's the best work of his career, actually. I think that in-ring, I think that's the best he ever was. When he worked with O'Reilly and Dunn, it's a short run. Even look what he did with Karrion Kross. I think he was so good in that run. He actually did have a little bit of Brett to him. He was wrestling in this kind of... It was really interesting, and I don't know if people realize the context, but NXT's main event house style, we've gone in a certain direction. And I don't know if Finn's ever spoke about this, but he like actively tried to change it. And you can tell if you watch the matches, he really took things down a notch. They were in the PC. This is in the pandemic, and it's like, you know, they got the crowds, but they're in the PC, and it's not exactly electric in there. And he really took things back to basics, and it was less theatrical, and it had a real grit to it. It was really good stuff. But one of my favorite Finn matches, and this is no surprise, but I was just talking to someone about this actually earlier. Oracle and I have discussed it before. Samoa Joe and Finn Balor from London, TakeOver London, is like, I honestly think it's one of the most underrated matches either guy's career. Joe's NXT matches, very few of them are great. I like many of them because he's my guy, but like he doesn't have him and Shin have good matches. They're not great. Their Finn rematch is trending really nicely, and then he gets busted open and the referee gets scared and they have to go home, whatever. But TakeOver London, Joe and Finn is like, it feels like a real throwback. It has this wonderful feel in that building at Wembley Arena. It's a really, really great match. So that's another one I recommend for whoever was on the flight. God bless you. There's another one. Yes. Balor's awesome. Absolutely. I've tried to pick and choose from WWE, but I'm really struggling with both their commentary teams right now. McAfee is beyond brutal, and Graves is ill-equipped to be a lead. Yeah, I'm like genuinely is part of why I'm doing the fan cam thing. I dressed it up as me being silly, but like I actually find it quite hard to deal with some of the way they predict. I mean, I'm not a big fan of any wrestling announce team other than the Collision team. Hilariously, I know one member of that team didn't have a great weekend, but I actually really like them as a trio. Dynamite has like its moments for me. I don't know. Sometimes I like their commentary. Sometimes it drives me slightly nuts. But yeah, I definitely get your point. I heard this was good, Sammy and Ivar. What would a triple threat between you, AO, and Ibu look like? Like shit, probably. Already booking, fantasy booking two pay-per-view cycle for you between the United Empire and the Patriarchy. The angle where Christian leaves Ospreay bloodied while all the arena boos in. My God. Christian's brain being given like the tools of a Will Ospreay would be a deadly combination. The match that he would come up with would be honestly perverse. It would be outrageous. I did not see Naeem Dar and Charlie Dempsey. I like Charlie Dempsey. I think he's a good worker. Show has something special in him that the Ospreay match showcased. Man, I love that match. I never plugged my shit, but if you ever read my review of that match, like I love that. Or watched, I think I did a video. It came up somewhere and I was on a show and I reviewed that match. That match is awesome, man. Shota and Will. I can't remember specifically because there's a lot of wrestling, but it has these like clear transition points that I think are like really special. Do we think they'll do Dom and Andrade at Mania? I still think they might get added to some like Escobar Ray business. I'm not sure. They seem to be doing something in that regard, definitely. Yeah. Sting kicking out one was awesome, especially because that was a believable finish. Moxie should defeat Naito and then defeat Shura at Dominion, do a time limit draw at Forbidden Door, and then finally drop the title to him at Wrestle Kingdom. That would be insane. Yeah, I reckon, to be honest, if he's going to win the belt, it'd probably be a shorter reign just because of like the political element to play there. But yeah, I think it would be really cool if he did win the belt. But I tried to avoid it because, like, you know, I'm not someone who watches New Japan a lot, so I try not to have strong opinions on it because I know it drives people nuts to actually follow it. So from the outside looking in, my take is Moxley winning would be awesome, but I get that, you know, there's a lot more educated opinions on that, right? So, have you seen Bret Hart house show fan cams that's made a list of the sport? You know what, honestly, bro, I hate to say this because he's one of my all-time favorites, but I'm not a big fan of house show Hitman. I must admit, it bums me out to say it. Took me a long time to accept that about myself. I think Bret, in a pay-per-view setting with a story to tell, is one of the greatest wrestlers ever. Hot take, right? I don't love, you know, Cold Tuesday Night in Stoke City, Bret Hart. Any football fans that might pop to you. I think he struggles sometimes with a more basic scenario, ever so slightly. But I have seen many of Bret's. I mean, there's exceptions to that, to your point. Like the Flair stuff, their house show matches are better than the matches that we saw on TV. But yeah, I hope that answered your question. Are you going to watch The Scapegoat versus Show? I really want to see where Jack goes with this character and if he adds anything to his dressing style. Probably, yeah, I like Jack. I think Jack is a talented wrestler. I liked him as a babyface a lot. I'm intrigued by that for sure. I'm intrigued by guys trying, you know, to get over in Japan and work that style. I think it's interesting. I found it fascinating watching Nemeth and Finlay. Like, just try and watch. I figure out the offense. You can see that Nick can still go. He's took some fabulous bumps, but he needs to figure out the offense. Jack, I think, will have a similar issue. So we'll see how he goes. He's a lot younger, though, right? Hopefully, he has something up his sleeve. I'm not starting a third, God forbid. Do you have any plans to keep doing two? I don't right now because I haven't seen one, but I need to change that. It's just generally that's not my thing, but like I need to. I've heard such great things. I've got to see it before it leaves the cinema for sure. Okay. Apologies if I miss comments. If I miss you, just feel free to post again because I'm trying to go a little quicker because I don't want to run into the WrestlePurist show. Bad for business, you know? Okay, it seems that I should get the deluxe version of the 2K. When's the last time you went a day without watching any kind of match? Do you ever get grabbed out? Oh, I definitely do get grabbed out, as you put it, but I honestly wouldn't want to think about when the last day. That would be a deeply embarrassing answer. Because I'm always watching, like, there's always graps on. It's just the way my existence is, as sad as it is. Like, there's always wrestling on. Like, even when I'm totally burnt out and I don't want to watch wrestling, like, there'll be my go-to for escapism will still be like, oh, let's put this, you know, this random wrestling match on that I like. Like, it's just the way my brain works. I mean, I watch a lot of movies too, don't get me wrong, but a single match, probably an insane amount of time since I haven't watched one in a day, unfortunately. This is a sickness, folks. It is what it is. I was thinking of saying, when was the last time a match considered an all-time a match of the year was followed up immediately by another all-time without the previous match tiring the crowd out? That would be a question for someone with a better memory than me. In Japan, it's like their crowds, I find, are much better at dealing with that, especially because the undercards build more gradually. So, like, if you look at Wrestle Kingdom 10, right, like, you know, AJ and Shin did not in any way affect Okada and Tanahashi, right, is like the first example that comes to mind. But in America, the US crowds are different. Like, I'm not sure. That's a great question. If anyone has an answer, please answer it in the chat. I have 2K24 and we're doing a JHP universe mode when DLC comes out. Who should the Punker work first for the world title? Terry Funk or Cole Anderson? Cole Anderson. Build up to it, brother. Punk and Funk do not come out till May 15th. Okay, well, that gives me some time to not buy the game, then that's good. Yeah, Nigel was superb on Revolution. Absolutely superb. Is there a path to the world championship for Darby Allin? I feel like he can't go from all of this Sting runs to the TNT title at 4. I absolutely think there's a path. I think it should be a priority even. Can you imagine Will Ospreay versus Darby Allin? You know, like, I think him and Swerve is always something you go back to. That's like a natural thing. You know, they have such a great dynamic. So, yeah, I actually think he should win the world title at some point. He's, I think, one of their best workers, and I think by far their most reliable and consistent worker. Darby Allin's worst matches are still, they're super watchable, right? And he's wrestles regularly. Like, yeah, I think he should win the world title for sure. Who does Okada work with first when he comes in? Because I've been thinking about it and really can't figure it out. I would circle this Ospreay-Kyle Fletcher match as an angle alert situation for Okada. That's not me scooping, folks. We all heard that this Wednesday was potentially the date for Okada. I think you may see a situation there where the Don Callis family puts the boots to Will and in comes Kazuchika Okada. That's what I think they may do, which would mean the first match would be some sort of all-star tag on Big Business, right? So him and Ospreay versus, you know, Hobbs and Takeshita or Kyle and Takeshita, whichever works. That would be my pitch. I also think that may be what happens, but that would be my pitch. It's going to be really challenging because you want to make this thing count. Okada is, you know, Will Ospreay, his value is such that even if he just kind of floats around and wrestles guys on your roster, it will be like electric. To me, with Okada, you need to get the presentation right and you need to frame him as like this kind of godlike figure because the audience is going to receive him that way. So you haven't got to do a lot of work in that regard. So it's going to be challenging, but that's my first instinctual response is an all-star tag alongside Ospreay, which I think would be a statement on Big Business when you're going to make another statement, pun intended. And yeah, that would be my direction. I see people criticizing WWE for not putting Brand in the Hall of Fame. Yeah, I don't know, man. That stuff's like, I think it's pretty clear they intend to like honor Bray's legacy. You know, I think that's pretty apparent. I think he'll certainly be in there before long. I have no doubt. Okay. Yeah, seeing MJF Punk in Chicago was an experience I'll remember forever. Yeah, that was was the great, the 40-minute match. That was great. Great, great match. Love of the game, Tope. I hope you're well, brother. His title run wasn't great, as everyone knows, but when MJF is at his best, he's so good. I hope he gets back to that this year. Me too, man. He's, yeah, he's very, very, very gifted pro wrestler. Very, very capable. It was. Punk and MJF was special for sure. All right. As I said, folks, if I miss stuff, I apologize. I'm trying to go a little quicker because I always forget people watch this. Do you think Eddie ever actually wins the world title at this point? I feel like it felt like a sure thing at one point, but I don't know anymore. Good question. I would lean towards no. Certainly is not impossible, though, right? Like, he could catch fire, especially if there's a heel that's the world's champion. I don't know who that would even be at this point, really. You know, but like, if you imagined a heel MJF as the world champ at one point, it was very feasible that Max would, that Eddie would catch fire opposite him. I don't know who that would be at this juncture, but. But yeah, I think it's less likely. But I mean, he's not that he doesn't deserve it, but God, he's playing with house money at this point, right? I mean, good Lord, what a story. Just won this series of Bryan Danielson. He's got three belts inexplicably. Like, as someone who remembers watching King sitting there on All Ego's High Spot show talking about, like, I'm not going to quit because you never know, something might come up. There was a lot of people that was hoping Eddie would get a gig on TV. You would have, if you'd have predicted what's happened to that dude, you'd have honestly been, you'd have come across insane. Like, it's so cool, man. So I don't think he's going to get the big belt, but I think it worked out okay, I guess, right, is my point. But yeah, I think it's more likely that they have Ospreay do a dream match at All In and then have him win the belt at WrestleDream. Maybe. Maybe so. He's going to be in a big match regardless, right? That much goes for sure. My bad, I just got a message about that. I think Hangman Mox does get overlooked when it comes to best views in AEW. For me, it's the free seed behind Punk, MJF, and Hangman Omega. Yeah, Hangman and Mox, they had like four good matches. Well, a couple great matches, but they had four strong matches, right? Ospreay beating Joe in Wembley and then Swerve getting it at Full Gear World's End would be the way to do it, in my opinion. I don't know if Joe's going to be around for that long. Sadly, the big man, I think he's going to be going away a little bit soon to do the Twisted Metal gimmick. God bless him. Good for him. Okay. Did you see the Randy Orton A&E doc? It's very good. I did not. I want to watch it though. I want to watch it. I think an Eddie Ospreay feud for Triple Crown would be super cool. They actually set that match up on, they set that match up on a New Japan show where Will worked with like Homicide and Eddie was on commentary and Eddie got in the ring after and they had like this little moment and you felt like they were going, it just never came to be. So yeah, that match would be killer. I'd probably not do it for a while just because Will is like a natural babyface right now, but yeah, I would. It's an interesting one for sure. It'd be a great matchup. Okay, what else we got here? Factual. Scott's leg was fucked. You're right. Speaking of selling, I genuinely believe the first Naito match is Kenny's best and one of my favorite matches ever. The selling of the knee and its incorporation in the closing stretch was divine. I don't remember the match well enough to note the details. I know those two guys had incredible matches together, but yeah, a lot of that stuff, that era, like, blends together for me, sadly. I have to rewatch it. Scott is very funny in the moment, Matthew, yes. He's very funny in TNA in general. Hi, Joe. How are you? I'm well, Anthony. How are you? What sort of send-off will Joe get when he retires? Good question. I don't know. It would be interesting where he is at that point, right? Like, I think he's – I don't know when his deal's up, but he feels like a guy, if he can stay healthy, he's probably going to get paid, like, a hilarious amount of money whenever his deal's up because he's probably going to be able to have a bidding war at, like, 46 years old, which I don't think anyone saw coming, but – that will shape it, right? Like, if he's still an AEW guy when he's going to retire, then I think he'll get treated really, really gracefully because I think it's pretty obvious, breaking news, Tony Khan's a big fan. But I think he'd get treated well elsewhere too if Triple H is still in power because he's equally a big fan. You know, maybe doesn't have the tapes, but he was clearly a big Samoa Joe guy. So pretty good time to be a Samoa Joe fan, I guess, is my point. Hopefully he's healthy enough to, like, do it on his own terms. That's the main thing, right? Joe had a lot of injury problems for a while there. He's been good in AEW, thankfully, but his age, like, and the wear and tear, you're always one away from it kind of being in trouble. So I just hope he stays healthy and keeps enjoying it. I think it's very apparent that, like, Joey is just having a blast, man. He's someone who I don't think he takes for granted. He really tries to enjoy it, which is, I think, makes it fun to watch. So, yeah, it'll be interesting for sure. Hopefully it's cool. Have you seen Paul White and Joanna Haystacks? I have, yeah. Great match. Does Shingo versus Danielson at Forbidden Door move you? Yes, bro, absolutely it does. Shingo Takagi and Brian Danielson? Yes, sir. Which War Games match do you prefer between 91 and 92? I feel like 91 is a better all-out war feel, but 92 really does the cinematic parts very well. Yeah, I think 92 improves on 91. 91 is awesome and should actually get more love historically, but 92, I just think, is like, it takes the things that match does well and improves upon them, and then it adds those kind of cinematic touches, as you put it, like Nikita spot. And yeah, I also, the Dangerous Alliance is just an all-time great. Like, what an act, man. Good God. Talent in that group is insane. All right, folks, we've got another 20 minutes or so. We've actually got a little bit longer. We're okay. What are your thoughts on... I didn't mean to do this. How would you use Tama Tonga in WWE? Put him in the Bloodline, keep him away? I'd keep him away from the Bloodline. I don't actually know what I would do him. I like Tama as a talent. I just don't know where he fits necessarily. But like, he can be a good babyface. The Bloodline thing, I think, would be a stretch, to be honest. Especially if there's another guy who's coming in who's like the most obvious fit there ever. Tamara, I don't know. I was going to say put him in a tag team with someone, but then your poor old Tangaloa is not going to get the call, I assume. It's a weird one. I think he's a good talent, but I actually thought he made more sense being like a top guy for TNA or someone. And I know usually when people say that, they mean it as a dunk, but I actually don't. Like, I thought Tama would actually be like a pretty good fit as like a real player for TNA. In WWE, I have no idea what that looks like, but apparently it was close to happening like last year. So maybe it's the Bloodline thing. They must have something up their sleeve. What are your thoughts on Ospreay, Swerve, Hangman, Orange, Garcia, Okada, and Takeshita being pushed to the future of AEW? Anyone else who deserves to be in the conversation? Ospreay, Swerve, Hangman. Orange and Okada are the two older gentlemen in that group. I mean, not that they're old, but Okada's, I think, physically is pretty beat up. So that's the only thing I would say about the future. Like, I think Okada's someone you want to go right away, do what you want to do with him. Again, not that he's going to retire anytime soon. He just, if you watch him wrestle, you can tell he's pretty beat up, understandably. Orange, I think, is fresher, but I mean, Max has to look. Max, I understand he's become polarizing, but he has to be in the conversation, right? Darby, I think, is one too. But I mean, it's a great talent pool, absolutely. Some Finn Balor talk. Yeah, fair. The dark bits definitely—they can shape for AEW Dynamite commentary for sure. How would you book the tag team tournament? The way I would book the tag team tournament would upset everyone because it would probably be like an FTR vehicle, which would drive everyone nuts. But that's what I would do. I mean, there's other factors at play with the FTR, so I'm going to leave that there. But I would like to see them wrestle with the Blackpool Combat Club again personally, but a lot of people fucking hated that match. So what are you going to do? I'd probably do some FTR BCC stuff in there, but... Yeah, I'm really excited for it, though. Like, seriously, I think it's going to be awesome. How much is Punk's Hall of Fame induction speech for Paulie going to put? Oh, it's going to be incredible. Yeah, it's going to be just absolute horseshit. Real graps. Just two blokes just talking, just lying for the sake of the game. That's what it's all about, brother. Do you think they should stake the tag belts? Yeah, you're right, yeah. You could call. Do you think they set the tag belts on Kabuki Warriors to force Alex to watch all three shows? I think you're right. He's pretty prolific with that, too. He's always aware. Very impressive. How many feuds do you think Punk has left in him? I don't know. I just hope he can stay healthy. Like, it's... I have no interest in retiring guys, or like, I hate the injury prone thing. I hate, because I just think it has like horrible connotations. But like, at this point, it's hard. Like, Punk's really been, he can tell it's wearing on him too. It's a shame. It is a shame because he's clearly got the bug back. I think it was pretty obvious that 2023 Punk was not the same as the way he was the year before. You know, that injury affected him. And now another injury, it's like, I don't know. I really hope that he can close this thing out in a way that is, like, satisfying to him. I mean, as a fan, I'd like to see it. But, like, for him, I just think it would be cool if he could do that. So, hopefully he has a couple, man. Hopefully he can do Mania again, if nothing else. You know, that's, like, the main thing, I think. But, yeah. Hopefully he's doing well, because I know the injuries can... I mean, I think the injury in AEW is a big part of why things change. I think that, like, fucked him up, you know. It's a tough game, the old professional wrestling. So, hopefully he's well. Yeah, man, it's a sickness. I should really not put on pro wrestling when I'm sick of pro wrestling. There's so many versions of pro wrestling, right? Like, it's just... It's a very complicated thing when you're in this deep. Is there such a thing, somewhat modern, as a better house show worker than TV worker? In modern times, not really, because the idea of a house show worker is kind of a lost art. There are wrestlers who are very good at house show bits, who approach house shows through the lens of, like, basically, let's just riff and give this exact audience what they want. And that can be fun to watch live, but generally... Wrestling is very, there's such patterns now. It's rigid patterns in WWE. You know, like, you do a match, this is the exact way you're supposed to do it. Unless you're, like, a star, you don't really fuck with it much. Like, Kevin Owens is always very funny at house shows, but he's obviously a great worker in general. But yeah, it's a different industry in that regard, you know. It's, house show matches generally are just TV matches that you're watching without cameras, you know. That's really what they are now. Sometimes you get quirky. When I was in Paris, we had the really quirky one of Baron Corbin being, like, super over for some reason. And so they switched the match, and he, like, kind of worked baby. Like, kind of. He didn't do it as much as he should have, but he worked babyface and won. And that to me is the romanticism and the magic of house shows. Like, every house is different. Every place, every building, they're all different memories. And for everywhere you go, like, you know, somewhere in the crowd, that's their one chance to see their favorite wrestler or whatever it may be. That's the magic, right? And obviously TV is the same way, but in TV, you can just go home and watch the show you just watched on, you know, in HD or whatever. There's a power to kind of that timeless element of house shows, to me anyway. Most people don't give a fuck about it, but it always pops me. Okay. Shout out 6-star. Doing the stardom questions bit. God bless. Some Darby Allin chatter in the chat. This is a very good comment. Collision feels like the English Championship, something for the real sickos. Watching Shane Taylor versus Big Bill, like catching Millwall versus Preston North End. Tremendous, tremendous comment. Do you think AEW and WWE should do shorter reigns? I look at these runs that are 100-plus days, but there's so much talent. I think the biggest mistake with title reigns is people be having, like, a firm rule on what's right and wrong, you know, in terms of, like, it's bad for the credibility of the belt if we switch it. Like, no, it's not. If the wrestlers are good and the matches are good, it'll be fine for the belt. So, yeah, I think sometimes they should. I think sometimes they both bookers are way too rigid in terms of, like, this is when this person's losing the belt. Sometimes you should just do some shit, man. It's give the people a moment, you know, stun them, shock them, make them realize anything can happen. It's that can be powerful. Surprise title wins are like a drug. You know, that's just money. This is why I hear, man. I hear it's great. I need to see it, dude. I gotta see it. I'm gonna see Poor Things on Thursday because I've been putting that off too. I don't love his films generally, but I've told it's so great. Like, and I want to watch all the Oscar movies before Saturday or Sunday, whenever it is. So I gotta do it. I'm gonna push through and complete the mission. Definitely the correct way to consume art, by the way. I think they should do Brian versus Ospreay at Dynasty and winner faces Joe at Double or Nothing. I think Joe's dropping at Dynasty to Swerve, to be honest. I would like this, but I think that's where it will happen. JF chow. I weirdly find myself quite invested in this Mercedes run. What are the best and worst case outcomes for her overall team? I think the best case is main events of pay-per-views, right? I think she's obviously more than capable as a star and a worker, right? So that's the best case is anytime she's on a pay-per-view card, you get that match to the point where it could main event the show. That's the goal. And they have the talent, I think, to do that. Like, I think that's a matter of promoting correctly and building correctly. So that's the best case. The worst case, creatively, the worst case is that her star, in fact, just kind of folds into what the division currently is. Because, look, we have to be real, the division's made strides and got better, but it's still like that match on Sunday felt like a total afterthought, unfortunately, you know? So the worst case is she just kind of becomes a piece of that, which, while unlikely, you know, if she's not treated the way she should be, it can happen, right? Creative's huge for this. The more theatrical answer to that is there's definitely some worst case scenarios where that is just not a marriage that works, right? There's definitely some quirks to being in AEW that are really, they're great for some people and other people are not so keen. I don't think I'm breaking any news there at this point. You never know what type, like what personality is going to fit better. Like, obviously they're clearly trying to like make it best they can for this. They've hired, I forget the lady's name, but they've hired the writer that Mercedes friends with. Like, they obviously want to make her comfortable and kind of roll out the red carpet as they should. But there is a chance she just doesn't like it there. I mean, that's always possible. Hopefully it works out. I think wrestling would be way better for Mercedes being killer in AEW and having this like electric top gal run. You know, I think it'd be so cool. So, and it would be good for the women across the industry because like the top women in WWE that maybe aren't satisfied with their creative would then have like a clear jumping spot like that somewhere. I could go and work with Mercedes. You know, it would be a lot more enticing. So I'm really hopeful and I'm like you, I'm really invested too. Hopefully it goes great. Should Mercedes beat Tony on her first night? Yes or yes? Yeah, man. I would not be waiting too long on that for sure. Definitely not. Certainly not. I think get the belt on her quickly. They may have been asking about me retiring. I don't know. My farewell match would probably be pretty bad though, right? The rankings pop. I forgot about the rankings. Wonder if Joe calls it off this contract. Maybe. I don't know, man. I think there's going to be some money waiting there for him. Joe should stick with AEW as a producer after retirement. He could definitely, yeah, he can offer a lot as a producer in either place. Yeah. And I know like he enjoyed commentary a lot. There's loads of stuff he can do, you know. Like, again, I think he's in a really good spot, which is great because got fired twice in like 7 months, dude. It was crazy for a minute there. Hello, Joe. Do you also miss the man called Sting? I do miss him very much, yes. The man called Sting. How could you not? How would you book the Good Brothers retirement tour? Oh, my God. Incredible question. Like a 12, it would be like a 12-man tag where they don't even tag in. They just stand on the apron and watch AJ, Finn, and the Young Bucks do all the work, as God intended. Okada versus Joe has to happen on Big Business. I don't know why, but it does. Yeah, that would be a moment. They actually wrestled in like, I want to say like New Jersey. They wrestled on like an indie in 2011 when Okada was in the States. Like before he was Okada, you know, when he was just like a young boy. Yeah, that would definitely be a cool match for sure. And it's also one where because Joe's limitations, it would probably be better for the match. They couldn't go that long, right? How excited are you for the Bron and Corbin versus Good Brothers match? Can't lie, it might be the top three anticipated Mania weekend match. I'm with you. I'm actually really excited too. I'm actually a little bit embarrassed by how excited I am. It's, I think it might be like actually good, not just pretend good. But even if it's pretend good, God bless, we can rock with that. You know, I think that Corbin and Bron team is awesome, dude. It's a real throwback. It reminds me of like a World Tag League team. You know. FTR versus Gates Wagner. Okay, so for anyone who's not aware of Late Night Grin Law, which you probably aren't commenting this, like there was a match they had on Battle of the Belts in 2022. And we were doing a watch along, and this was when Battle of the Belts was after Rampage. So I had watched SmackDown, Rampage, and that Battle of the Belts was on. And we were doing a watch along. At first, it was like me and one other person. By the end, there was like eight of us watching this show together. And FTR Gates of Agony comes on. And we are like, we're like, we're jumping up and down like it's FTR Briscoes. Like we're like popping huge. We can't, this incredible match, we're pumping our fists, we're rocking and rolling. And the match ends, and we're all talking about this great match, and we realize afterwards that no one else in the world thought it was a great match. And in fact, I think it has like a fire on cage match or some shit. But we all just couldn't, we got so excited. It was like 5 a.m. for me and midnight for the States or whatever. We just declared this is actually great. So yes, FTR Gates of Agony will be special. You're correct. Even if for the exact reasons I just described happening again. That is a very memorable LNG moment. The video would be, if you go to latenightgrin.com, I guess it would be under like AEW Grinlongs, I guess would be what it would be. But yeah, it was very, very fun. Very, very fun. There's some punk feuds, Seth, Drew, Roman, Cody. Yeah, I'd love the KO one too, man. I think the KO one would actually be like incredible. I gave this some shout earlier. Here we go, Expert Gaming. That's what I was talking to about Joe and Finn. I gave that some love earlier. Awesome match. With Okada and Ospreay and MJF and Kenny returning, are you worried for Jay Wyatt? I'm not worried necessarily, but I definitely think he's going to be a guy who's kind of slotted. I don't think it will be a slot as low as like what he's doing now, but I don't think he's going to be like a consistent main event guy there. I've said all along, I think he's going to be an upper mid-card heel. And people thought I was saying that to be like, you know, dramatic. Just the way I see him being there. I like him more than that. A lot of people like him less than that. I think that's where he'll eventually end up. He'll just kind of be a guy they can heat up for main events on occasion. But I don't think he's someone. Hopefully I'm wrong. But I don't think he's someone that's going to main event pay-per-views regularly. I don't. FTR the Bucks winning the tournament would make me mad and feel like a waste of time. This is what I'm saying, bro. Exactly. This is why I'm doing it. Make the masses mad. Pull it for a top flight upset or a BCC win. So Mox can at least have something new to do. You're right. But like the BCC, I'm done with the BCC thing, man. I enjoy their matches, but I have no interest in it as an act, unfortunately. I think the world of all of them as individuals, but I just think there's nothing interesting to them to me, you know? It bums me out because I'm such a big fan of them individually. But you're definitely the consensus. My booking of the tag team will drive people nuts, but you get what you get, I suppose. There you go. Cope, Foley, Funk, Dreamer, real grabs. Are there any wrestlers of yesteryear that you've never really gotten? Great question. I've never really got. See, I don't want to put myself over, but I can be pretty good at, like, I can understand the appeal of folks that I don't really, like, care about. So, while I've never really gone, but I'll give you some examples of guys that are really popular that I wouldn't say I'm, like, a fan of. Like, there's definitely an archetype. If you take a guy like Jeff Hardy or, like, Rob Van Dam, you take that archetype. Like, I've never been able to, like, care myself. Now, again, I get it in that I fully understand why people like Jeff Hardy or why people like Rob Van Dam, or liked in some cases on one of those. But like that particular type of wrestler is just never really, that's not really my thing. I'm too much of a fundamentals pervert. It's like, that's my curse, right? But yeah, there's a couple names that I'm not a big fan of. But again, I still get it, you know? Never really got on it. I'd struggle to come up with one that's like considered a great that I don't at least understand. I hope that was the answer made sense. But yeah, there's a couple names I'm not a huge fan of, I guess. Alex and I have fun with the Van Damme thing. Van Damme's a really fun one in the, like, he's obviously beast, but like a lot of the things that folks criticize some of these modern wrestlers for is like, it's totally what people said about Van Damme, you know? Examining selling and discuss, like, come on, dude. Bob Van Dam, he wasn't a psychological expert, he was just cool, which is fine, but you get what you get. Okay. Roman, I'm sure. Roman and Sammy at the house show, I'm sure that was great. I have no doubt. Yeah, I've seen this, actually. When I've been doing some match cards, I've looked up before like, how many times these guys have wrestled, and you've been able to see that NXT have run them on house shows. It's smart, man, getting practice. I agree. Punk and Co. would be awesome. Smart Joe should keep the title until he retires or AEW folds or he gets bored of it like the Ring of Honor TV title. Do you remember that visual when he laid the belt down and they took that camera shot over the belt? Fucking ruled. Some poor things praise. Dude, the holdovers is incredible. The holdovers is absolutely superb. Just wonderful. Like, such a touching, moving film, man. Like, one of those ones, when I rewatched it, I was wondering if it would, like, hit the same way. And, like, oh, my God, it kicked the shit out of me. But it's not, like, it's emotional, but it's not, like, it's weirdly uplifting. It will make sense when you watch it. I'm not going to spoil the holdovers, God forbid, but it's just a fabulous film. Definitely my favorite 2023 film. Again, I haven't seen Poor Things yet, but it's definitely my favorite thus far. I've been thinking about who takes over Star Ratings after Meltzer. I think I'm in too deep. Definitely in too deep, but I could have told you that just by the fact you're in the comment section for a show called The Holbert House Show, so don't worry about it. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe no one does. Maybe it's over. Brian probably will, right? I guess. Probably. I'd imagine it'd be Brian. Okay. Do you think people worry about ticket sales too much rather than enjoying wrestling? I understand if your job is to talk about. I think, like, it can be interesting, right, to kind of look at what draws and what doesn't. But ultimately, to me, I think you have to be very careful when you marry, like, good and commercially successful. I think that's a very dangerous game to play. Some of my favorite wrestling ever didn't connect, you know. So I think you can look at it. I wouldn't worry about it or swear. Now, we also had ticket sales. Ratings is one thing. Ticket sales is more important in that the atmosphere for a show does matter to me. You know, like, it was nice to go into Revolution knowing that was going to be a packed house. So I think it can be interesting. I think it's going to be fun to look at what gets the people to, you know, pay their money and whatever. But it isn't saying that I try my absolute best. I never think you should marry that to, like, this isn't good, it didn't draw. Like, I think that's a very dangerous game to play personally, but. Is Wheeler Yuta cooked if Sheamus comes in? Maybe. I don't know. I kind of forgot the Sheamus thing. Do we have any updates on that? Tell me in the chat. Joe, can I please have some Terry Funk recommendation? Want to add 70s, 80s, 90s grizzled side to my fandom. So, cheap plug, but we did a Grim Grappler show that was, like, I thought we came up with a really good list of matches, but I'll try and give you a couple. So, the main thing I think that age is the best from his, like, older stuff, and it's still not really his, like, original stuff, but the main thing I would say start with is the work in All Japan in, like, the early 80s specifically. Him and Hansen have a couple. There's one in particular with Juice in 83, I want to say, that is an unbelievable match. But honestly, some of the best stuff that I would dive into is him and Dory as a tag. Now, that's funny because, like, Dory's kind of, you know, I mean, God bless Dory, but, you know, he's not the most exciting bloke. But the Funk Brothers were so over in Japan. Like, if you watch their matches with fucking the Sheik and Abby and Brody and Hanson, like, that's the stuff I'd honestly look at, man. Like, if you know, I haven't got, like, dates in front of me, but All Japan tags with Dory is, like, the best older stuff, I think. Like, because, again, I mentioned the Jumbo match earlier from the 70s, but that match is very, like, it's pretty slow burner, you know? The tag stuff has aged so well. It's still so exciting. So there's a few. In terms of the 90s, I love War Games 94. I think that's a classic Terry Funk performance where he fucking falls through the ring and gets the shit kicked out of him the entire time. It's incredible. I'm not as well-versed on ECW. The Onita stuff goes without saying for the 90s. I'm trying to think if there's any other 90s recommend. It's pretty stuff I'm forgetting, but him and Foley have that, like, ridiculous Falls Count Anywhere, whatever it is, the match with Austin on commentary in 98 on Raw. Raw crowd sitting there watching these two fuckers destroy each other. So there's a few, but again, the thing I would circle is if you want to get more versed with, like, old school Terry Funk, All Japan tag matches alongside Dory, just matches that are, like, if you like kind of the Briscoe stuff in recent years, right, you'll love that stuff. It's awesome. Yeah. Yeah, so this is where I'm at. Like, I think the FTR matches were good, and I love the match on Sunday, but this is exactly it. Moxley's just, he's better than just being, like, in a tag team where they just fight guys. Like, it's cool, but Moxley, his best stuff is when he has these kind of stories and angles to delve into. There's a bunch of guys who can have good TV matches. That's not what I think Moxley's value is. To me, he's a guy I want to see in big-time prize fights, you know, with personal issues. And he's such a good promo. That's where I would like to see him get back to. But I mean, I'm sure he has a lot of say and he's creative. I'm sure he's having a blast team with Claudio, bro. I mean, I could have good tag matches with Claudio, so I'm sure he's I'm sure he's fucking loving it, you know? But as a fan, I'd like to see him do that personally. Yeah, Undisputed Elite in those would be. That makes me want Blackpool Combat Club back in them, honestly, even though I agree. Undisputed Elite in Blood and Guts would be something, wouldn't it? Were you a fan of the Blood Runs Cold stuff? I love Mortis. That's the figure I want more than any other. That would be cool. No, I wouldn't say I was a fan, but there's some cool matches that pop up in that. Like Mortis, you know, he was always very innovative, right? So that would be a sick figure, though. Surprised they haven't got to that, honestly. I haven't ever had a deal, right? I assume not. Yeah, this is wrong. I mean, Rob has such a cool factor. That's why, you know, I tried my best to answer that question, but it's like, I completely get his appeal. It just isn't for me, I guess, would be it. He pops me more now because he's an old fucker, which makes every wrestler better, actually. I'm almost caught up, folks. We're going to be winding down here very shortly. We're going to be like 5 more minutes. So if you have anything that I've missed, look at this, Tope. Zone of Interest and that move before on Wednesday. Goodness, Maestro is honestly like it's a little bit of a slog, but it's a fine film. It's a very pretty film, nice to look at. It's just lacks some substance for me. There you go, Funk and Hansen, man. Yeah, incredible matches. And I'm pretty sure the Funks broke Hansen in, so I'm pretty sure they got him in the business. I think, I believe so. I know this is a huge hot take, but after listening to the man talk, I'm convinced no one understands the wrestling business more than John Cena. He's done like an interview, right? I think I didn't. Yeah, I actually haven't really seen him talk about it a lot, like the psychology and stuff. So it's interesting. Though, I might have to watch that. I know John has not had his finest hour in recent interviews, but you know, wrestlers, isn't it? They fucking suck. What do you want to do? Yeah, War Games 94 is. People give it shit because there's no blood, but War Games 94 is awesome. It's such a hoot. Yeah, this is fair. Like. If the Blackpool Combat Club was a more like focused direction, it would definitely be more tolerable. But it just feels like a waste of great talent to me. It's just waste is too strong because they're having great matches, but it feels like they're all lesser than what they'd be on their own. You know, it's even Claudio. I feel that way. Like I think he's had a really great run, but I think as a character, he's kind of lessened by being in the BCC sometimes. What's your prediction for the IC title gauntlet? I have no idea, honestly, dude. Like, Sammy kind of needs. I don't know what Sammy's doing on the card right now. You know, Sammy or Gable, right? That's the two. I don't know who's going to win between those. It'd be very interesting. Here's another good Funk call out. The empty arena business with Jerry Lawler. That goes without saying. Good call. All right, folks. I think we're going to call it there. If you've got a couple more minutes here, if you have any last questions that I missed, I'll try my best to get to them. If not, as I said, maybe tomorrow, if Ibu can do it, we're going to do Hanging with Holbert. So a little double shot here at the house show. Everyone, please do go head over to the Wrestle Purist. Once we're done here, they'll be reviewing Raw, which should be cool. Raw was pretty good. From what I saw, it was good. And I heard the other things were good too. So should be fun. As I've said a million times at this point, LNG 100, we're 10 days away. Also, if you're a Grinner, if you're someone, and you could have started watching Late Night Grinner episode 1, you could have started episode 94, it doesn't matter to me. If you're someone who watches our stuff and likes it, I'm trying to get the community involved and get them on the show. I think it'd be really cool to feature the folks that have supported the show. So if you have a message that you'd like to be on the Late Night Grinner 100, whether it be a video message, the few folks will be appearing by video message. You could do the same, or you could just send it in text, and I'm going to find a way to have those represented on the screen. You can just DM me that. That's like saying that I'm trying to feature, because we're going to have some clips from yesteryear. We're going to have some friends of the show sending in messages. But I'd like to see you guys get involved too, because the community is a huge part of the Late Night Grin. So that'll be March 15th. You still have a week or so to do that. There's no rush. There will be a big surprise. There will be a major announcement. It's going to be very, very cool. What else do I need to push? Tomorrow, as I said, Hanging Holbert. Thursday, there will be the Dynamite review. And yeah, I don't know. I think that's everything. We'll see. Maybe something else will pop up. All right. I appreciate you guys. This was very, very fun. Nice house today for a ridiculous timed afternoon program about professional wrestling. Here is the way we started. And here is how we're going to end, folks. The new closing line, I've discussed it with our friend JJ. We've locked it in. Our outro now. Folks, thanks for the house.